supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, in faith and humanity, Salamu Alaikum, and so welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. Today we're going to speak about loving the world in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Thursday, is the 20th of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Isfand, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we bless this moment of today's special by recitation of one of the chapters of the Holy Quran, chapter Yunus, verse 23.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلما أنجاهم إذا هم يبغون في الأرض بغير الحق يا أيها الناس إنما بغيكم على أنفسكم متاع الحياة الدنيا ثم إلينا مرجعكم فننبئكم بما كنتم تعملون.
But when he saves them, at once they commit injustice upon the earth without right. O mankind, your injustice is only against yourselves, being merely the enjoyment of worldly life. Then to us is your return, and we will inform you of what you used to do.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Quran advises people to know that whatever oppression they commit and whatever sort of deviation they have made from the right path, they themselves will pay its price. The only thing that they may be able to do is to enjoy the life in this world for merely a few days, and finally, their eventual return will be towards Allah. It is at that time that they shall be informed of whatever they did in the world. The reality of the world. The world which is approved is that which one acquires in this earthly abode, this school, and this marketplace, where higher stations and lasting spiritual merits are exchanged for transitory goods, and where arrangements are made for the abiding abode. These cannot be possibly acquired without entering this world, as has been stated by Imam Ali alayhi salam in one of his sermons delivered on hearing a person abuse the world. Indeed, this world is the abode of truth for him who appreciates its truthfulness, a place of safety for him who understands it, a mine of treasures for him who collects provisions from it for the next world, and a house of instructions for him who draws lessons from it. It is the shrine of worship for those who love Allah, the house of prayer for His angels, the place where the revelations of Allah descend, and the marketplace for those devoted to Him, Allah. Herein they earn His mercy, and herein they acquire paradise by way of profit. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with seeking worldly pleasures and seeking this world for the sake of this world, for itself, as viewed in Islam. So we find that while some people have decided to do whatever they might wish and follow the carnal desires in this world, such people will be the losers in the world hereafter. And this is a very important point on which we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated it in Nahj al-Balagha in Sermon 132, in which he indicated, to his audience, not only his immediate audience, audiences who were in front of him, but rather by extension, Imam Ali alayhi salam addressed all people that do whatever deserves your fate in the paradise. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never created this world for you to live here forever. This is a transitory station. This is a station at which you stay just for a short period of time. You shouldn't get attached to this world. Because of this, we find that those people who prefer this world, who prefer this worldly life over the world hereafter, and regard this world as the abode of permanence here, sooner or later they find that it was just a great mistake. A mistake that can hardly be compensated. And those people who have referred to this world as just a place of, short stay, brief stay, and have given permanence, have given importance, and have given the attention to the world hereafter based on Islamic religious doctrines and values and teachings, they will find that the world hereafter is the world of permanence, and the rewards will be abundant in paradise. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
The world and the worldliness. The world that is condemned. That is the title of this part of today's special. Commonly, it is said that the attachment of the world is condemned and disapproved by Islam. This is both true and false. If what is implied is an emotional attachment, it cannot be true, because man in relation to the total system of creation has been created with a series of congenital emotional attachments and inclinations. All innate human tendencies and aptitudes have a purpose which is wise and sagacious. Consequently, it should be said that the Islamic world outlook, even as it does not permit us to denounce and reject the world, it also does not allow us to regard the natural attachments and the channel of communication as useless and breakable, because such sentiments and tendencies are a part of the general pattern of creation.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة.
شفعة أنا لها أنا لها.
How to control Allah for this dunya. Dear brothers and sisters, when we start chastening the dunya for the dunya's sake instead of using it as a means to our real goal, pleasing Allah, that is when our priorities are mixed up and we start to suffer from a serious special disease. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, once stood before the companions and said, "It is not poverty that I fear for you, but what I fear for you is that the world, the dunya, will be presented for you just as it was presented for those before you. Then you will compete for it, and it will destroy you just as it destroyed them." As a physical disease destroys the body, a spiritual disease destroys the soul. When we put the love of dunya before the love of Allah, diseases like greed, arrogance, ingratitude, jealousy, vanity, all start to take over our heart and destroy our lives.
The attachment sometimes becomes extremely severe. And if you really want to know how a person is attached to these items, keep that item away from this person a few minutes. Don't try this. There's going to be a fight at home. But you get the idea. Keep it away from this person. Tell this person, let's go into a room, put the phone outside for 2 hours, for 30 minutes. You see this person, he's sitting on the couch, he's getting edgy, he can't concentrate, you can't talk to you anymore. His mind is in his phone. That is a sign that the attachment has become too severe. You need to do something about it. Normal levels of attachment are okay. You can be functional. But sometimes excessive attachment makes you a dysfunctional human being. This is our lifelong struggle, my dear brothers and sisters. Being attached to this world, to material objects, comes with consequences for us in our lives. Many consequences, my dear brothers and sisters. One consequence of being attached to material objects is that it impacts your self-worth. Allah has told you that I have created you with honor and dignity. When you become attached to these objects become an extension of yourself. That means you're equating yourself with an object. Is that the self-worth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and has wanted for you, my dear brothers and sisters?
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us ponder today on how to dress in public, as expounded to us by the embodiment of dignity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. He whose dress is chosen by knowledge will have his defects screened from people.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al Mustafa Muhammad wa ala Ahli Baytihi at Tayyibin at Tahirin al Ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the Hadith of Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, it's a very beautiful yet lengthy tradition in which he narrates to his companion Hisham. If we just take a step back, we understand and we see the immaculateness and the deep understanding of religion that the Imams alayhim as-salam had just by pondering over this tradition. And what is also beautiful is that every single section that we have mentioned, and today we have reached the 23rd section of this tradition, it is not necessary for a person to actually go and follow every single one. Every single one of these has a great message in it that will hopefully, if we practice upon it, then it is important. Not just having, you know, information about it, but if we practice upon it and make it into knowledge, then we can benefit from this tradition of the Imam alayhi salam. So in this part of the tradition, the Imam says, "Oh Hisham, those with intellect even abstain from the excesses of the material world. So how could they not abstain from sin when abstaining from the excesses of the material world is but a virtue, while abstaining from sin is an obligation?" So here we see that these individuals who have intellect, who use their intellect, understand that, first of all, sustenance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever they are given, they are content with. Even if they are given a lot, they are content with it. They understand that this is what is meant for me. It is not excess. And if they feel that what they have is too much, they will give it away. It's an intellectual person. So a knock-on effect from that is that obviously if in this material world something that is excessive and that is goes beyond their needs is refrained from, that obviously which goes beyond the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be overstepped. That red line that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in terms of the sharia, in terms of the divine law, that will never be overstepped by these individuals who use their intellect in this way. If they refrain from excesses in the material world, even though getting them is not a sin, they will refrain obviously from excess in their carnal desires. For in this way they are overstepping the mark. They are going towards sin and they're going towards that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them not to do. They're going in excess and going beyond the command, beyond in a bad way rather, to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who remain within the framework of the divine law. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. In this part, we are going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Dr. Keith L. Moore, a professor at the Department of Anatomy and Cell Biology, University of Toronto, concerning the Holy Quran has said, "The intensive studies of the Quran and Hadith in the last 4 years have revealed a system of classifying human embryos that is amazing, since it was recorded in the 7th century AD. Descriptions in the Quran cannot be based on scientific knowledge in the 17th century. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of verses 11 and 12 of Surah Ash-Shura, recited by Sheikh Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al. Let's enjoy it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاطر السماوات والأرض جعل لكم من أنفسكم ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. You just listened to the recitation of Sheikh Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al, Surah Ash-Shura, verses 11 to 12. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of Tajweed. Okay, we have verse 11 of Surah Ash-Shura, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Fatiru samawati wal ard. Shaykh As-Sayyid Mutawalli Abdul Al is reciting in the riwayah of Warsh an-Nafi'. The first indicator of this is the tarqiq of the ra, fatiru samawati wal ard. The ra becomes muraqqaq because it's preceded by a letter with a kasra. And also in the word al-ard, we have al-ard, we have the naql of the hamza, where the sound of the hamza goes back to the second letter before it and goes to the lam, wal-ard. And there is no hamza, wal-ard. We don't hear a hamza, hamza tul-qata. جعل لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا ومن الأنعام أزواجا. Here we have two waqful ibdals. أزواجا ومن الأنعام أزواجا. If you continue on the first أزواجا, you don't stop on the first أزواجا. We don't say أزواجا. That's why we actually pronounce the fatha, the tanwin of fatha. But for the second أزواجا, we pronounce it like azwaja, like an alif ulma, because we're stopping on the word which has tanwin al fatha. And whenever you see a word with tanwin al fatha and alif after the tanwin al fatha, if you want to stop on such a word, you have to pronounce the alif ulmad of that word. يَذْرَأُكُمْ فِيهِ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And also the word shay'un in Warsh an Nafi', we have the lengthening of this madullin, which has a hamza at the end, and to four or six vowel counts. Lahu maqalidu samawati wal ard yabsutu ar-rizqa liman yasha' wa yaqdir innahu bikulli shay'in 'alim. Again, in لَهُ مَقَالِدُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, we have وَالْأَرْضِ, which is a naql. The ra of الْأَرْضِ is pronounced with تَفْخِيم in Warsh and Hafs. يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ. Again, the ra here in both riwayas of Warsh and Hafs are recited with تَرْقِيق because the ra has a kasra. لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. In the word يَشَاءُ, we have مَدُّ الْمُتَّصِلِ. We have lengthened this mat to four or five vowel counts with consistency. Meaning, if you see one مَدُّ الْمُتَّصِلِ in a recitation, you lengthen that مَدُّ الْمُتَّصِلِ to four vowel counts. You have to lengthen all مَدُّ الْمُتَّصِلِ in a recitation to four vowel counts. And the same applies if you lengthen it to five vowel counts. So if we lengthen this one to four vowel counts, all of the other مَدُّ الْمُتَّصِلِ after we lengthen the four vowel counts as well. Thank you very much, dear listeners of Arab English Radio, for listening to today's program of Let's Recite the Quran. I hope you enjoyed it. I invite you to listen to the next segments of this show.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala Ahli Baytid At-Tayyibin At-Tahirin Al-Ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome back to our episodes where we look at certain stories and anecdotes of individuals who were taken aback by the beauty and by the light of the Holy Quran. In our previous segment, we spoke about one of the companions of the Holy Prophet known as Uthman ibn Mad'un, and his iman and his belief in Islam becoming cemented by this verse of Surah Nahl. That is the 90th verse of Surah Nahl that states that أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Indeed, Allah enjoins justice and kindness and generosity to
towards relatives, and he forbids indecency, wrong, and aggression. He advises you so that you may take admonition. Said after hearing this verse from the blessed mouth of the Holy Prophet, Islam cemented itself in his heart. And after hearing this, he immediately went to the uncle of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that is Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, and he explained to him what's occurred and explained to him the story. Abu Talib alayhi salam then says something extremely beautiful. He says, Oh, people of Quraysh, rather, oh, my children of Quraysh, because he was one of the heads of the Quraysh. Ya Ahl Quraysh. He says, follow Muhammad. Ittabi'u Muhammad. Follow him. Take him by the hand. Do everything and follow this person. Follow my nephew. And by doing so, you will gain felicity and salvation. You will gain progress. You will earn something. You will gain something. Because why? All he does is order you towards that which is the best of actions, or makarimul akhlaq. He is only guiding you towards the best of the ethical virtues that any human being will accept. That's all he is guiding you to. He's making you a better human being. Surprisingly, Uthman also went to another person, as we saw in one of our previous segments. Uthman went to Walid. And he recited this verse for Walid ibn Mughira as well. On hearing this verse, Mughira says again something very beautiful. He says, if this speech is from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he has said something that is good and beautiful. And if this is from his Lord, he didn't say from the Lord, he says from his Lord, then again it is also something that has been said that is beautiful and good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to also see the light and the beauty, and for the Holy Quran to cement iman and belief in our hearts. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
This man changed the world.
الله أكبر خميني رهبر. الله أكبر خميني رهبر.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid, millat Iran, millat mojza asay qarn ast.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini rahbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. I'm your host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. This is a program dedicated to the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul. And I have a good friend, academic and Islamic scholar, Dr. Mahdi Turabi, to join me to discuss his life and times. Dr. Mahdi Turabi, salam, and welcome to the program.
Alaykum salam, rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Mahdi Turabi, we're going to discuss wealth disparity according to how the Imam saw it.
Yes.
Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul. I leave the floor entirely to you, sir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just a little intro in the sense that we had a program.
We did. And we discussed.
There was a report
from Oxfam, yes.
Published.
Yes.
A report in which they talked about the fact that, you know, we have this massive, crazy wealth disparity in the world.
Yes.
And one of the statistics that they...
It's reached diabolical proportions.
Exactly. Diabolical is exactly the word.
Yes.
Where they basically said that the 85 richest individuals...
Yes.
I repeat, individuals.
Individuals. In 85 individuals.
Individuals, okay, in the world...
Yes.
...own the same amount of wealth as...
3.5 billion people.
The bottom half of the entire world's population.
Staggering.
Okay, let's just... let's do a little experiment here.
Okay.
Okay, imagine 85 people.
Yes.
Would they fit into... Where would they fit? Like, just so that we get an idea of how little 85 people are.
Basically, two double...
A double-decker bus.
A double-decker bus.
Right?
Would be sufficient, yeah.
A double-decker bus?
A London double-decker bus would take 85 people.
Right. One train carriage?
Or one train carriage.
Or maybe two?
Perhaps two.
Right?
Yeah. With difficulty.
A medium-sized boat?
A medium-sized boat, yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
You know, half a football field?
Yeah. Or half the seats in a passenger aircraft?
Right.
Yeah.
Correct?
Absolutely.
That's 85 people?
85 people.
Versus?
3.5 billion.
Right. That's all of China.
Yeah, all of China, India.
India, and some on top of that.
And some on top of that, yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Good?
It makes perfect sense.
Okay. So I'm just saying this so that we get a picture of it.
My God, staggering.
And these two groups...
Two groups, yeah.
...have the same amount of wealth.
Same amount of wealth.
What? I mean...
Yeah.
It's really hard to digest.
It is. It is.
But remember, this is Oxfam.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like, you know, the... I don't know. The anarchist, whatever...
Anarchist institution of proclaimed terrorism.
Right. It's right. Not, you know, it's not like...
Or the Salafist beheading.
Right. It's
of
not like some dude...
Institute of beheading, you know, your local neighbor.
Right. It's not some dude running, you know, a website out of his, you know, grandma's basement or something. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. This is Oxfam.
Yeah.
Oxfam.
Okay.
Right. Who's done enormous
research. Okay.
Yes. On poverty throughout the globe.
Right.
Yes.
So
let's be clear about that. Yes.
Okay. So this is the... Now...
Yeah.
Now that we've...
Discussed that.
Just what do you think... What do you think Imam's view of this is?
Well, I see a fatwa coming.
Right?
Yeah.
Would you agree that it is the same view that the Quran has about these matters?
It is. And it was warning us for this kind of thing
right.
to happen.
Would you say that Imam's view is the same view that Imam Ali alayhi salam would have about these things, or the Prophet would have about these
absolutely.
Things? So remember, we've talked about this ayah, where Allah actually gives us the reason why we have zakat and
khums, yes,
and why we spend
and charity and sadaqah
and we
all
give
that.
Of our
yes.
wealth. It says so that the money doesn't circulate amongst
the rich.
Among the rich,
absolutely.
Because if you look at economic history, if you look at, you know, putting aside the Quran and, you know, the Islamic analysis for a second, you
sure.
look at just economics.
Yeah, just economics, and you're the expert on that.
What ends up happening? Mm-hmm. Is when you have a system where you end up having very few rich people, that's where all the money circulates.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's the nature of the matter.
Yeah.
And so then the Quran comes, and Allah comes, and God comes, and says, you know, in order to prevent this natural occurrence,
yes.
This is what happens when you have this unchecked...
Yes.
Yes.
Very nice.
Okay.
Yes, that's
he
correct.
He says, in order to, because we're not Marxists, we're not, you know, Luddites. We're not, you know, Islam isn't saying, you know, you're not allowed to have property and it's the dictatorship of the proletariat.
No,
and
no, nothing
if
like
you're
that.
Some genius doctor, you get the same salary as some dude who's like some slacker, right, who doesn't do anything, right? So Allah understands that.
Yes.
We don't need to...
need to go into that dynamic.
Right? No. So Allah is not denying personal property. No. Allah is not denying anybody, you know, being wealthy.
No.
And having money.
No.
In fact, if you look at Khums and Zakat, it's what economists call a flat tax.
A flat tax, yes. For the rich.
No, it's a flat tax.
It's a flat tax.
Whoever
for everybody. Sorry,
whoever falls into the category of being able to pay it. Because, you know, Khums, you don't have to pay if you've
fallen below a certain level.
Well, Khums, this is the way it works. If you have income, if you spend all your income...
You don't pay Khums.
You don't pay Khums because,
exactly.
Hey, you spend all right, all your income.
You've utilized everything in that year.
Right.
You don't need
it's
to pay
It's only
Khums.
On whatever is left after.
Afterwards, yes.
At the end of the year,
as a
you calculate.
Tax.
You say, you know, this is how much income I had, this is how much expenses I had.
Hmm.
In the end, this is X amount. And from that X amount, you give 20%.
Exactly.
Which is a flat tax.
A flat
tax. Doesn't matter whether you're a multi-billionaire
or
whether you're, you know,
middle class
average Joe Schmo, you know, employee.
Jones, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
McChowder.
Yes.
Right. So...
Smithers Jones.
Right.
Another very good song. Anyway, go
so
on. Yes. Sorry. I should say that.
What Islam wants, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed through the Quran in this system is people get to enjoy the fruits of their labor,
right,
their efforts, their genius, their talents. Even... the fruits and the of the talents of their parents in terms of getting, you know, inheritances.
Inheritance,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
So none of this is being denied in Islam.
No,
nobody say that Islam is this, you know, whatever.
No.
But what it does is it mediates it.
Mediates it,
It
yes.
says, okay, you who have money, you have to give a certain amount. And this then is administered by the masoom in their presence, whether it's the Prophet, peace be upon him, or the imams. And in their absence, it's administered by the ulama.
Exactly.
And there is very strict rules as to what it has to be spent on.
Hmm.
It has to be spent on the poor.
Exactly. Exactly.
On the needy.
On, the
on
needy.
Those who don't have
yes.
a base of support financially.
Exactly.
Widows, orphans,
hmm.
people who are physically not capable of working for whatever reason.
The reason, yes.
The elderly,
hmm.
who might not have... children to support
or
them.
Even not be able to get a pension even.
Right. Mm. Correct?
Yes.
So Allah says, you know what? This is the deal. And in the ayah, it brings the reason. It's so that it doesn't circulate among the wealthy.
Right.
So what do we have today? It's circulating among the wealthy. Right?
That extreme has reappeared again.
Let's look at this. Mm. Let's do, again, another little experiment. Imagine if we forced these 85 individuals, each one of them, to give 20% of their wealth.
I think that would feed most African countries for at least a year.
What are you saying? More than, it's, imagine, these are, remember,
yeah,
these are the 85 richest individuals who
sure.
own the same amount of wealth as 3.5 billion other human beings.
Exactly.
Now, each one of these, ladies and gentlemen, whatever billions they have, you force them to give
20%.
So let's say the guy has 10 billion. He's worth 10 billion.
Okay.
What's 20% of 10 billion?
It's 2 billion.
It's good, right?
It's very good.
That's a good
It's a good budget.
Good chunk of cash.
A good chunk.
I have a question for you. Let's say you're a billionaire.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just imagine for a second.
Yes, I'm a billionaire.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. God forbid we're billionaires.
Billionaires,
you know,
because yes.
you know Shaitan comes right when that happens.
Yes, and he tells me to get more greedy, you know.
Right. Are you going to have a major lifestyle change if in your account there is, instead of 10 billion, there's 8 billion?
No, I don't think so.
You can't buy that fifth yacht, maybe. Or maybe you could, right, with 8 billion?
The thing is that I've heard this from certain rich people.
Right.
Let me put
it. You understand where we're going with this.
I'm going with... I understand exactly
where
you're going.
Let's
just do that. There's a very popular actor, I would put it this way.
Yes.
Who has earned a substantial amount of money.
Yes.
From his
acting career.
Acting career.
And he's talented.
He's talented. He's made a lot of films, and he's, you know.
Yeah, he worked for it.
He's done it, okay? Which is really the model we're using for these 85 people.
Right.
He says, I have got to the point where I have earned or accumulated or acquired wealth, which I don't need to think about. In other words, it's not a primary concern for him that when he walks out of his house, what's happening with his money.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
He's not concerned with that anymore. It's not essential in his life, because whatever he wants, he can have it.
Exactly.
Right? That is the status of those people, that 85.
Exactly.
So 20% is just like, oops, I pressed the wrong button on the keyboard and this digitally went somewhere. He's hardly going to notice it.
Right. So in other words, what we're saying is that.
Yeah. This is like change.
Exactly.
It's like Glasgow, we would say, you have £50, I have 2 pence, I lost it, who cares?
Exactly. It's like losing change in the sofa.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so I think what we're trying to say here is we're reaching a point with all these things that we mentioned in terms of wealth disparity, and then we look at our leaders.
Moral leaders.
Our religious leaders. Now, we have to be fair here.
Yes. Because you're supposed to be a reflection of not only your beliefs, but also an example of who you follow.
Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And as far as I remember.
Right. Not very rich.
No, Jesus didn't have anything.
Right.
Yes.
Poor guy.
Except for.
Well, we're talking materially.
Materially, whatever he was wearing.
And that was his whole message.
That was his whole message.
You don't need the material stuff.
No, you don't need that.
Right.
Because apparently there's a riwayat that says that one day Jesus used a comb. Musk, made a musk or whatever it was, you know, a nice comb, just to comb his long hair, you know.
Yes.
And he suddenly saw another man coming up towards this brook or stream where he was, and he just dipped his fingers into the water and then, you know, ran them through his hair, his locks.
Yes.
And Jesus looked at the comb and threw it away.
SubhanAllah. We have also from Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes.
He says, you know, about Prophet Isa, that, you know.
Sorry, I get emotional. At
right.
That
the stone.
You know, this is
He said about Prophet Isa, peace be upon him, you know, that the stone was his pillow.
The stone was his pillow, yes.
And the night was his blanket.
Blanket.
The night sky was his blanket.
Yes.
Okay, so the point is, you know, we've reached this point in our life, and, you know, who'd have thought, you know, when we started, whatever, 40 years ago.
I'd like to point out, even to people who do pilgrimage to Kufa, that's not the house in which Imam Ali originally lived in.
Exactly.
That's made up.